Mark chapter 6, for our thoughts this morning. Try not to be too long-winded. Three little topwater points. We'll give an invitation, but we're glad you're here this morning. Mark chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse 45. Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 45. All right, this is what the Word of God declares. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. I want us to look there in verse 51. I want us to look at those four words, and the wind ceased, for our thoughts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the time you've given us, Lord, to come to your house and to worship you, the living God. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that has come and assembled here, your house and in your name. And Lord, we're thankful that we can worship. We live in a country where we still have freedom and liberty to worship, Lord, as you lay it upon our hearts. But Lord, we don't ever want to take these liberties and freedoms for granted. Father, as we come before you now, as we break the bread of life, give me the words to say, to present the gospel and say those things you've laid upon my heart, what I've studied this last week to present this morning. Let me preach with boldness, authority, your truth. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move within us, Lord, just speak to our hearts. There's a need, whatever it may be, salvation, baptism, church membership, rededication. Lord, you know the need of each heart that I stand before this morning. So, Father, may your Spirit have liberty to speak and to touch and to, Lord, point people to you this morning. Again, Lord, you've heard the prayer request. Spoken, those that are unspoken, we just bring them before you and seek that your blessed will be done. Thank you again, Lord, for allowing me this privilege and honor. For it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. If you would, please be seated. Again, I want to speak to you on the subject, and the wind ceased. Now, there's a story about a little girl who was put to bed by her mom and her dad, and they had their prayers, and they said good night. And turned the light off, closed the door, and of course, mom and dad went to their bedroom. And some time period went by, and all of a sudden, there was this big lightning strike and this big roll of thunder. Well, of course, it woke up the little girl, and she flew out of her bedroom and into the bedroom of her parents, and she jumped in the middle of them, and she was shaking. And the mother said, Honey. We had prayer. We told you the Lord's going to protect us from the storms. So there's nothing for you to be afraid of. And little girl looked, I know you told me that, but I sure would like someone that had skin on them. Amen. Well, you know, we want skin, don't we? When we go through a storm, we want God right there. Now, God has given us many promises. He's promised us eternal life. He's promised us a home in heaven. He's promised us the rapture. That's a promise, y'all. That's why I'm not Shame to say, hey, he's coming back to take us home. He promised that the rapture would take place. And for those that don't believe in the rapture, I feel sorry for them. But those are great and precious promises. But what about the other promises that should mean something to us? One, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Amen. I am with you always. What about, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. You see, those are precious promises. Now, what we read here was the Lord told the disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. Now, you know, I assure you, they weren't expecting a storm. And a lot of times, we never expect a storm in our lives. But life is crazy at times. And storms can come and go just like that. And I assure you this morning, either some of you are in a storm right now, some of you are coming out of the storm. I hate to tell you, some of you are getting ready to go into a storm. Because storms happen. And they catch us unaware sometimes. And I'm sure when the disciples got on that boat to go to the other side, they did what the Lord told them to do. He commanded them to go to the other side. They didn't argue with him. They got on the boat and they went to the other side. Why? Because he told them to. And the storm still came. You say, well, why did the storm come, Brother John? Well, it came to teach them a lesson about faith. We talk a good game about faith all the time. Oh, I'm so spiritual. I got so much faith. And then you let the doctor tell you, you got cancer. Or you have something going on in your home with your family. Or you've lost your job after working there for a set time of years. Or many, many other things. A pandemic. You say you have faith, but what's the first thing we want to do? We want to run to somebody else for advice. We want to run to somebody else for help. But yet God's there the whole time. And let me clue you in on something. These men, these disciples, were in the will of God, and yet the storm still came. You and I can be in the will of God. Listen to me. We can be in the will of God, and He allows the storm to come. And the thing is, let me ask you a question. Which is better? To be on the boat in the storm in the will of God, or to be on land not in the will of God? I'd rather be in the will of God every time. Amen? So, we'll pick up there and we'll start. Notice verse 45. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. And that word, constrained, means he pushed them, get in the ship. Time to get to the other side. Now, again, they had no clue what was fixing to take place. And again, many times in the storms of life, we have no clue. In fact, I'll say this. We have some funny ideas when it comes to storms. You see, we base, oh, the reason I'm going through this is because I've got sin in my life. Reason I'm going through this is because I've been disobedient. The reason I'm going through this is because I just ain't right. And listen to me. There are storms that we bring upon ourselves. That's true. There's three types of storms you're going to face in life. Three. A storm of correction. Anybody ever face that storm? Woo. I took a church I wasn't supposed to pastor in. Ooh, it was a storm of correction. Amen. Oh, he beat me stupid. But see, you might think, oh, he's just a dumb old hillbilly from Arkansas. He don't have no sense, and You might be halfway right, but when God teaches me a lesson, I learn the lesson. He never has to teach me twice. I said, the Lord. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. But there's the storm of correction. And then there's some of us dealing this morning with the storm of perfection. You see, God does allow us to go through storms so that it grows us, it matures us, and it makes us closer to Him. Amen? Anybody ever been in that one? I'm still in that one. I'm still learning. You? You say, well, it's been a long time. It sure has. Told you I was slow. But I'm learning. Because He allows us to go through the storm of perfection. And then, also, there's another storm. And this is the one that I hate the most. And it's the storm that comes because Satan wants to attack us. Amen? The origin is Satan. You see, he doesn't want us growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He doesn't want us maturing in Christ, so he will attack us for growing. He don't want us to grow. And you know what's sad? So many of our brothers and sisters today are in that storm. And instead of coming out to the other side, they're stuck in that storm because, one, they stop reading their Bibles. They stop praying. They stop coming to church. They stop telling others about Jesus. And then they wonder why they're in that storm. So storms are going to come and go in our lives. Again, when they come, what are you going to do? Because after all, He's the one that sent them to the other side. Amen? Point number one. Notice what He says. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. Now, right before they were commanded to go to the other side, there was a wonderful miracle that Jesus performed. He fed a multitude. Two little fish and five loaves. And He fed this whole multitude and took up, when they took up, after feeding them, 12 basketfuls of fragments, or in other words, leftovers. And by the way, I like leftovers. Amen? We eat leftovers at my house. Don't you? Times, the way they're getting, you better get used to them. Don't waste nothing. But you would have thought, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but you would have thought, with watching what Jesus did, fulfilling the needs of those folks that were there, that crowd there, that multitude that was hungry, that the disciples wouldn't have had a worry on their mind at all. But no, He knows us. And He used this to teach them a lesson about faith. Amen? And by the way, what does the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to believe God. Now, notice what it says in the next verse. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. What do you think He was praying about? I assure you, He was praying for His disciples crossing over to the other side. If I was to tell you that Jesus was in that room right there praying for you, would that make you feel better? Sure it would. Now, listen to me. He's not in that classroom. He's in heaven. But listen to me. He prays for you and me. When we are facing the storms of life, listen to me. There's someone praying for you. Even if you can't get your pastor to pray for you, or your spouse to pray for you, or your family, or your best friend, There is a God in heaven who has a Son named Jesus Christ that is praying for you. I'm go ahead and say it. I want y'all praying for me, and I want to pray for you. But listen, you'll never go wrong with Jesus praying for you. He's the source. Amen. He's the source. So, he's praying. Notice what it says. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. See, wind came up pretty quick. And it wasn't just a little 20-mile-an-hour wind. It was a major wind where there were waves coming over the boat. And they were toiling. You realize the effort to try to keep that boat from sinking? They were toiling. And notice what it says. For the wind was contrary. It was in their face. And it was blowing so hard. And beloved, listen to me. When it comes to the storms of life, sometimes it's just a little breeze. But other times, it is hurricane wind blowing. And it's always in our face. My question to you is, who are you going to turn to when those times come? That's right. That's who it better be every time. But I'm going to tell you a little later on what the disciples did. And before we throw rocks at them, we're just like them. We are the same. Amen. And I'll show you. They were toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, fourth watch, has 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning. Fourth watch. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now, did you notice the wind is blowing? Waves are crashing against the boat. No doubt they were fearful. They were afraid. Here comes Jesus walking on the sea. And the Bible says he would have passed by. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything, preacher? It has to do with this. Jesus saw the storm, saw what was going on, and he was right there. You see, nothing gets by the Lord. And you may think you're all alone, nobody cares. He cares. He's right there. He knows before you ever go through anything. You see, he allows things to happen. Read about Job. If you want to know about Job, turn over there and read about what he went through. But listen to me, even though Satan was given permission to do a few things, the Lord was watching the whole time to make sure. And he watches us. He knows what you're going through. He knows what load you are carrying. Amen. He knows exactly what load you're carrying. You're not alone. So he's walking on the sea. Notice what it says. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now, here they are, toiling, fighting against this major storm. And if you'll go to the other Gospels, you'll find them calling out. And they see the Lord walking by. But I want you to get this. You know why they didn't see him as he almost walked right past them? I'll tell you why. Because they weren't looking for him. Amen? How many times have you and I gone through a storm in life and we missed Jesus when He was there the whole time? Walked right by. I've been guilty of that before. They weren't looking for Him. There may be some of you going through that storm in life right now, and your eyes aren't fixed on Jesus. You're not looking for Him. You're looking around at the circumstances, or you're looking to someone else. Folks, let me tell you something. When it comes to this, and what I mean by this is when it comes to the Lord being there for you, and He always is, He's going to wait until everything within our own human power is out of the way. You say, well, why? So that He might be glorified. Amen. You see, He's a jealous God. Amen. And you know what the Bible tells me in Isaiah? It tells me He doesn't share His glory with anybody. Amen. Now listen, the Lord is seldom early, but He is never late. He was right there on time. Now again, He almost passed them by because they weren't looking for Him. Don't let the Lord pass you by the next time the storm is in your life. Amen. Now, notice with me what He says here. It says, but when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Better late than never. Why is it? He's always the last resort instead of the first. Amen. You see, He should be the first one we call out to. But again, often He's last. You say, well, what was you going to say earlier about comparing the disciples to us? It's like this. The Bible says they cried out to Him and He came on board the ship. They finally had sense enough to cry out to the Lord. And He heard them and He came on board. What do? We cry out to the Lord. The Lord comes. He delivers us from the storm and we say, wow! Like, we can't believe He just did that. What? He works on our behalf all the time. Nothing's impossible with Him. He's always the last one that we turn to. What a shame. Amen. What a shame. Shame on us. Now, notice what it says. For they all saw Him. Finally, their eyes were open and were troubled. I don't know about them, but for me, when I see Him, I ain't troubled. Amen. Praise the Lord, He's there. And immediately, He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. The Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. And beloved, in the world you and I will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth you, but my peace I give unto you. Beloved, smoke that in your pipe. That's good stuff. He is God. And then, of course, what did I say we're going to look at? And when he went up unto them into the ship, the wind ceased. Just that quick. You say, by whose authority? His authority. He's God. He's over everything. He is the I Am. I assure you, when he got on board and spoke, like two little puppies laying at his feet, the wind and the waves just stopped. Beloved, let me share something with you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to share with you who God is. This is good stuff. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll begin with verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40. I still hear some pages, so I'll give you a second. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Now look at verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Beloved, compared to God, everything is real small. If God can do what Isaiah just said he does, then don't you think he can handle your storm? I don't know what you're facing, but I do know we are going to face storms in this life. Sometimes they blow hard. Sometimes we get tired. Especially if you're going through one major storm after another. Sometimes they seem never ending. But if God can do all of this, and by the way, He spoke this world into existence. If he can do this, then he can handle your storm. And the wind ceased. So, in close, if you're going through a storm this morning, why don't you come and test God? Let's test him. Hey, he don't mind being tested. Because he's going to prove who he is each and every time. You can trust God. So come on. Say, Lord, I'm having a storm and a hard time in my life. And there's times that I just don't know what I'm going to do, where to turn. But I'm just going to trust you by faith. I'm going to lean on you. Hey, come. You see, the Lord can handle whatever you're going through. He can calm that storm. Maybe you have a storm in your heart. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He's an expert when it comes to handling sin. You see, he went to the cross and died so he could take away sin. And all you have to do is just come and by faith accept his sacrifice. Accept him as your Savior. He'll save you. He can calm that storm in your heart. Listen, we all sometimes, you know, we get all nervous and our hearts, we don't know sometimes what we're going to do, where we're going to turn. We all go through that. I know I have, even here recently. I've prayed, Lord, you got to get her to a doctor. You got to get her to someone that knows what they're doing, because I'm going to tell you, if you wait on them, you're going to be waiting a long time. But praise God, the Lord finally made a way. But I'm concerned. Any husband that loves his wife would be concerned for his spouse. And they're going to want the best for their spouse, and we're going to do whatever it takes for our spouses. But there's times there's a storm in our hearts concerning that. Can I tell you? Don't fear. Nothing to be afraid of. God is sovereign. He's not going to make a mistake. Ever. Again, it's how you perceive. What kind of storm are you going through? Figure that out. And then trust the Lord. Whatever your need is this morning, the Lord can cause the wind to cease for you if you'll just come and trust Him. Don't be afraid to go into the storm, because you're not alone. He's with you. Amen.